Alrighty, we are back. It's been a little while here. I haven't seen you in a few weeks, but we are back with another episode of the No One Told Me Hockey Podcast. Chris, what have you been up to? How are you doing over there across the sea?
Been doing a little better. I'm injured at the moment. I'm going to talk about that a little bit during the podcast. But yeah, it's been kind of tough with, I think it's an 8 hour time change between you and I, so finding the sweet
Oh my
spot to do
God.
this podcast hasn't been the easiest. Hasn't been the
No, and
easiest.
especially because like the weekends come up, and then if one of us is busy or traveling, that adds a whole nother thing to it. So
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
it is definitely a little tough. And then like I'll try to like text you and be like, oh shit, he's sleeping. And it's like, okay, and then when you
Seriously.
wake up, I'll be sleeping. So that's
Yeah, I'll do
funny.
the same thing to
Yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Is what it
That's
is,
awesome.
but find a way
Yeah.
to get it done. Got to find a
Yeah,
way,
it's the
right?
ask crack of dawn over here right now.
Yeah, exactly. You're battling for me.
Yeah, just a little
Appreciate
bit.
it.
So how's everything been? How has everything been going with hockey and stuff? I know you just said you're injured. So what happened?
It's strained oblique. I don't know if anyone, if you've ever had it before, but it sucks. It's just a really sharp pain.
Where is
In
it?
the
Is it like
side.
right on the lower part of your oblique? Is it
It's
like
upper. This one's upper because I've had it before,
yours is like
actually.
in here, like up
Yeah,
in here?
it's like low part of the ribs, actually, on the side. So like any movement I do, it's like a really sharp pain. So
Dude,
it
I had that
sucks.
same thing. I got hit. I
Really?
was coming across the ice, yeah, and I got like a cross check right there or something. And it like every time you like tried to like move it, like twist a little bit or anything, it's like the sharpest pain
Yeah, you
ever,
don't know
right?
how
Is that what
much
you
you
feel?
need.
Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
you don't know how much you need your oblique until that happens.
Yeah,
Like
dude,
you
it's
can't shoot, you
crazy.
can't even lift the puck off the ice.
No,
Anything,
it's
hard
terrible.
strides,
Yeah.
battling, and
So
whatever,
when
it
did that
sucks that it
happen?
happened, but yeah. So yeah, I was gonna say it sucks it happened, but we could it's a good topic to talk about and a good for especially for the younger listeners out there for
Yeah.
today too. Because you don't the injuries don't always happen as much in minor hockey, but then as soon as you get to juniors and stuff, it's you'll
Yeah.
see the game gets a lot faster, harder, and injuries happen. It's a lot more likely to happen. And I think the same thing. We were playing last Wednesday and it happened late. I think I got hit. I don't remember exactly, but I got back to the bench and I remember that feeling and I was like, shit, because I've had this before, strained oblique, and the other
Yeah.
times too, I got hit in an awkward spot on the boards.
Okay.
Once, but I got back to the bench and I was like, shit. And it was like, I think I had one more shift left. So I played. And the next day we had a day off. So it was hard to kind of feel how it was. And honestly, I was just
Yeah.
kind of being stupid. Like I was trying to be like ignorant to the fact that I might have had a strained oblique because I've had them before. And I
Were you
was
like
just
trying
like, I
to
really,
ignore it a little bit? Were you trying
yeah, a
to
little bit.
play it off? Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
exactly. And then we got on the ice for pregame skate on Friday. And I went on the ice. I took one shot and I was like, shit. Like, it was an absolute muffin and it hurt so bad. And
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. But the bright side of it was in the past times I've had it, I wasn't really able to skate like at all, like accelerate, even skate like 75%. And I was able to get to like 75%, maybe a little bit. So I was like,
Okay.
okay. And so honestly, like, we've had a lot of injuries right now. We're missing some top guys and, we've been playing with a lot of like younger call-ups. Like we've had like six junior guys called up to like a lot of our
Yeah,
games the past
that's
3 weeks.
crazy.
So I was just like, okay, maybe I can just go out there and make some plays and I can't really shoot the puck, but maybe I can try and play smart. And
You got like a
I was
wide open net.
Yeah,
You
seriously.
pass. Yeah.
I had one shot on Friday and one of the guys was like, yeah, is something okay with you? Like the biggest muffin I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, yeah. But anyways, so I made the mistake of trying to play Friday when I should not have played and trying to help the team. We're really down bodies right now. We've been losing and still I made the wrong choice by playing and I knew from the first shift of the game, I was like, shit, this is going to be a long one.
Yeah. Did
Yeah,
you hurt
I
it? And
couldn't
then did you
I
hurt
made
it
it
worse, do you
I
think?
made it four times
Yeah.
worse. I made it four times worse just by playing that game. And now I'm out at
Yeah.
least for a week and a half, 2 weeks now.
Okay.
When
Yeah.
I should have just okay, I should not, maybe I just missed one or two games, you know, after the first one on mm-hmm. Wednesday.
Yeah.
And maybe I was just out for three, four, five days. But now I tried forcing myself to play, and now I'm out for 2 weeks. So
what, you strained it even more just from being out there playing?
Way worse. Yeah, like strained way worse. Yeah. And it was
Instead of letting it rest. Yeah.
Exactly. Tough game. We had, like I said, we've been playing with like three lines the past month. So we've had a lot of injuries. Made the bad choice. But yeah, it's a great learning point though. So, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of you younger players too, if you feel an injury, you think, okay, I don't think I can play. Maybe I can get through. It's better to rest it and let it recover. Otherwise, you might find yourself back behind the eight ball. Now you're out for 3 weeks instead of 1 week, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what happened to me. I got a question for you.
How do you handle the, you know, when you get hurt and it maybe for the first time and now you feel like you have these outside pressures of people thinking like you're a pussy or something like that. Like, how do you deal with that, do you think? Because that's like a weird pressure that's like you make up in your head almost.
No, I know. Like,
that's like the weirdest feeling.
It is, honestly, because you don't know. Like, you tell people, but they don't really, no one knows exactly what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it kind of sucks, but you really have to, you can't think about that if coach is like, oh, coach is really pressuring you to play or, but you know yourself better than anyone. If guys think maybe, you're being soft or something, like, screw them. You gotta do what's best for you. And maybe people aren't even thinking that. Maybe you're just thinking it in your own head.
Yeah.
You really just gotta, you know, I think you gotta try and be mature about it and realize the reality of what you have, what the injury is, and what do you need to do to be on the ice. What's going to help you get on the ice the fastest? So are you doing your rehab? You get as much rehab as you can. Anything, laser therapy, ultrasounds, ice packs.
Yeah. So whatever you need in terms for your scenario. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good call. That's a good point you brought up there about, maybe you make that up in your own mind, the false pressure of, okay,
it's such a
faking
weird,
it.
It's
he's soft.
Yeah. He's no, soft, I know. Especially when it goes on for weeks and weeks, like your injury is like a longer one, but it's nothing external. Like you can't see it or you didn't have surgery. So something like your oblique, great example.
Exactly.
It's like you can't see it or you didn't have surgery. So like
it's not a bone fracture.
Like exactly. Like you're fine. Like play through.
Yeah.
It. But
exactly.
Then I think there's a time or if you are trying to rush being back and you know, you're not 100%. But you're like, you're feeling the pressure and stuff from people. So you play anyway. You kind of put yourself in a vulnerable spot out there as well. Cause you're not going to be playing as hard. You're not going to be playing as tough. You know, you're going to be putting yourself in bad spots out there. It is a balance of like knowing your body and knowing where you're at to put yourself out in like a safe situation out there. So you don't, you know, start putting yourself in bad situations to get hurt worse out there. As well.
I couldn't agree with you more. Like honestly, that last Wednesday was a perfect example. Last Friday, I felt like absolutely useless. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like I was just every time I got the puck, I'm like, I got to get rid of it because if I get hit, I'm gonna be screaming and I'm gonna be out much longer.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do yourself any favors to try and play through that if you're not gonna be nearly your best. No, yeah.
Especially in spots where you're trying to get like, say like for junior hockey, that's a weird time because you're definitely trying to rush it at that time because, you know, say you're in your I know I got injured, the oblique injury my last year and we were going into the NHL showcase and I couldn't go because I was hurt and I was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, this is not a good start to the season. I only have this year left. It's like now I'm rushing, trying to play. So it is a weird balance of knowing where you're at and, you know, but taking the time to, you know, heal it correctly because it's going to help you long term.
No, for sure. Yeah, that's a terrible balance. I'm sorry that happened to you. That sucks.
No, it's okay. It's good now. But I remember feeling the pressure.
Yeah. The other side of the injury, too, is just like how are you handling it? Like some guys can get really down on themselves. Maybe they're distancing themselves from the team. I think the best way to try and to handle that is to like, don't separate yourself from the team. Still go to practice, go to the rink, go to the team meetings, go to team video, you know, hang around the room after, still be part of the guys. Because if you're just by yourself without even talking to guys too, that's going to weigh on you heavily too. You know, if you're just kind of on your own page, it's like, where is this? We haven't seen this guy in a month. So I think that's, I think that's important too, is you stay apart and stay dialed in with the team.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think on it, I think too, like that's a good time for yourself. Like you said, stay part of the team, but then also like, you know, don't be that guy in the locker room who's, you know, down because they're injured. It's still, you know, you're still part of the team. You're still, you know, for the team. So you still got to make sure that you have that right mentality around the guys too. You know, you're not feeding negative energy into the locker room. So you, you definitely got to, you got to be aware of where you're at, but also, you know, be aware of how you're like acting and around the team, because you can find yourself in a, you know, feeling down and stuff, but you don't want to drag other guys down with you. So, but yeah, being around the guys is huge for sure. Like in the locker room, definitely, I would say, you know, be when they're getting ready for practice, go, you know, go in there and hang out and stuff. Don't feel like you have to just go and seclude yourself because you're not practicing that day. You know, it can start to feel like you're not a part of the team, honestly, like if you're not playing for a couple of weeks. But if you, you know, stay involved, stay around the locker room and stuff for sure. I agree.
No, good points there. 100%. And it just, I think that helps mentally too, because the more time you spend alone, it's just, then you start going to have more negative thoughts, more thoughts. Like go have, like, go live your normal life still. Go there, have fun, joke around with the guys. Mm-hmm. It'll make you feel a lot better. At least for me.
Yeah, it really does. I totally agree. No.
And one way, that you can help the team, even though you're injured, just bring good vibes. Bring good vibes to the room.
True. Still that never contribute. Hurts any locker room right there. Yeah, that never hurts a locker room right there. It's good vibes. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. So the other thing I want to talk to you about, kind of, I guess, off of this a little bit, is off-ice training. I guess we could get into if you're injured or, you know, outside of injuries, just like normal, you know, normal day-to-day or the summer. But I want to get your thoughts on, you know, off-ice training as a hockey player.
Yeah, now that we're kind of on the injury topic, we can touch on that first. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about it before, but yeah, be a pro. When you're injured, just treat your recovery like a pro. Like that's your job to get better. Don't cut corners, do the necessary steps, whatever it is, get your program, put the time, put the effort in, and a lot of times too, you come back stronger from that injury if you do put the work in. And a lot of times too, when guys get injured, they could just be loafing around, not doing anything for some times because they're down. But it's important, I think, to keep training no matter what it is. Maybe if it's even just biking, if that's the only thing you can do, I think that's very important, because like nothing can mimic like on ice, like your skating and being in shape on the ice, like being in game shape, nothing can really relate to that. But I think if you put every step, everything that you have into trying your best, you're going to be a lot better off. And I really regret that too, when I had a high ankle sprain in juniors a long time ago. It really sucked, and I was out for a long time, like 3 months. But I remember coming back because I couldn't skate, and I remember I was biking, but I definitely could have been doing more. You know, I definitely could have been putting more work off the ice. And I remember I came back, I was so out of shape, and that was a battle to get back. I think that's very important too. When you are injured, you're doing the correct steps, the rehab, everything, every competitive advantage that you can have. Use that as your time. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's hard when you're injured and like no one's necessarily holding you accountable for like, because usually like the team, like the coaches and stuff become so focused on everyone else, because it's, you know, it's your team, and you're the lone man out in a sense. Like you have to hold yourself accountable at that point, and that when you're injured can definitely be a hard thing to do. I think that when you're injured, that's like one of the hardest things to do, is hold yourself accountable on like staying in shape and recovery, because you're like in the dumps, your motivation might not necessarily be there, and you don't necessarily see the long term you know, vision of when you come back, you know, you're just worried about right now and being injured. So that is a tough thing to do in terms of staying in shape and doing, going the extra mile to make sure you still are.
It's mental.
But if you can do that, yeah, it is mental. It's 100% really, mental.
It's a great challenge. Yeah. Next time any of you guys get injured, challenge yourself. Seriously, it is. It's a great challenge. Set yourself, whatever, you're coming back 2 weeks, I'm going to be this much better at these things that I can control. You know, even if it's something as simple as, okay, I can't skate. I got a broken ankle. I'm going to make my forearms insane, arms of steel. Like, you know, little things like that, little things you can control, intangibles, you know? But yeah,
I think maybe set some goals for yourself. Like if you become injured, maybe set some goals for yourself to hold yourself a little bit more accountable. I didn't do that, but thinking about it now, I think that's a good way to hold yourself accountable with anything, is write down some things that you want to, in quotes, achieve while you're injured, that you can work towards instead of only working towards you don't even know when you're coming back.
No, that's a great, great couple pieces there. Definitely. I think if you write something down, it's more likely to happen. Just seeing it and just logging that mentally, I think that's it's a good tip there for sure.
Definitely. So then if you're normal now, you're all healed or whatever, off ice training, I want to talk to you about what helped you most in your off ice training as you progressed.
Yeah, for sure. Great topic to talk about. One thing I really focus on, I want to kind of talk about how important is it? You know, some people talk about, oh, you'll never score a goal from the gym. I can't do this. I'll never score a goal from the pull-up bar or something like that. Okay, yeah, that may be true. But I'll tell you one thing that you could really do and on the off ice is build your speed. And that's one of the biggest things that helped me in my career. And I honestly did that over one off season. So bring it back to, I know we've talked about it in some of my other, some of the other podcasts here, talked about my career there, but I want to talk about how important the off, the off ice training was, to the development of my career and my game. So I kind of had a not very good freshman year at school, and, honestly, I gained a little weight. So I was a little bit out of shape that off season or that after the year. Wasn't playing much, having fun, whatever. And then I told myself, you know what? I'm going to turn into a freaking beast this offseason. I don't care. I'm going to come back and I want to be the best guy in shape. So that's like one thing I told myself. And I talked to my older brother. My older brother is really, really big into the gym and stuff like that. And he helped create a program for me. Speed, building my speed and building explosive. So that was like the main thing I really focused on was the explosiveness and the speed. And I put my mind to it, by far the hardest I ever worked in my whole career. And in just one off season, I came back first day of training camp, everyone on the line, shit, we're doing 60 second drills. And I was like, shit, okay, here it is. Here's where I'll, I can kind of show coach if I put the work in. And I first one I finished first by like a half a zone. Half a rink. I swear I did the 60 second drill and I looked back and the closest guy was at the red line. And just because of that, right there, okay, shit, Doty worked his ass off this summer. This kid wants it. This kid's hungry.
Right.
He deserves it. So just because of that, I was inserted into the lineup and then I was able to build from there just from my work ethic, just from all the off ice training I did. And I'm 100% confident that my speed came from the workouts I was doing, how I was training. And you have to train smart too. Training smart is huge. That's everything. Like you can be working your ass off, but you're not doing it smart. You might just be going in trying to kill yourself, or you're jogging, running for 2 miles. You're trying to kill yourself. That's not the proper way to do it, especially for hockey players. And the way I was really doing it, I was training in bursts, and a lot of guys don't like to do this too, but recovery after your reps and after your sets in the gym. take the 2 minutes to recover, and that's what I would do. It was take the 2 minutes. I'd have a timer, and then
Were you doing so in terms of your program, were you doing in terms of lifting, and then were you doing like agility, explosive type?
Yeah, I'd always start with speed. Start with my speed, speed, banded, weighted sprints, sled pushes.
Okay.
High intensity speed acceleration. And then with the lifts, I would add the explosives into my lifts as well. But
okay.
Training smart too, using the time to recover. Cause a lot of guys, you get the same workout. One guy's going to get more out of it than the other because one guy's trying to fly through it. Oh, I'm sweating. Look how much I'm sweating. But this guy's over here doing it the right way, the smart way, getting every single push out of every rep. So, yeah, that's – anyways, overall, to sum it up, that was an insane off season for me, and that propelled my career, and that really helped to get to where I am today. If I didn't do that, I would have maybe never gotten that opportunity. No, I know I wouldn't have gotten that opportunity. And probably wouldn't be here today. So yes, off ice training is extremely important, especially if you're a guy that needs to be hungry. Okay. First overall picks, you're a highly touted player. Of course you're going to get the opportunity because opportunity is everything. But if you're not getting the opportunity, that's one major way you can separate yourself from a lot of players.
I remember even for myself, this is going way back, but this is when I was still like playing like double A and I was trying to make the jump to triple A. And I wasn't like, you know, like when you do like in youth hockey, you kind of do some bullshit like off ice workouts, but they're just like, they're just whatever. Right.
Yeah. So exactly. Like I'd run around the rink.
Like
go run around the rink, go run around center ice five times.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd been doing that like my whole life, and then I was like, okay, I need to take this more seriously. And so that's when I did Fury's AAA program there in the spring, and they have a pretty good program in terms of like lifting and agility and mobility and all that. Like their program's pretty good for that. And that was the first summer, like obviously I was skating with better players too. But that was the first summer. After that summer, my whole game, the person I was totally different on the ice, because it was the first time I actually focused on like building that strength, building it correctly, becoming explosive, getting like that stability under me in terms of having the strength to like hold up my body and use it correctly on the ice. And my game ever since then, like totally changed like by a magnitude. It was crazy. And it was just from putting in that time off the ice. And I was only at that time, I was 14, just turned 15. So like for players that are younger, like you can, even though you're younger, you can still be working on being explosive and, you know, lifting and getting your feet
sprinting.
It's going to help you tremendously once you,
Sprints are massive.
I also liked a lot. Yeah. I did a lot of reactionary, like sprints. So like, you know, doing it off of, a sound or like dropping a ball, you know, trying to like get like
more athletic
reaction time along. Exactly.
Being more athletic, like
using your reaction time along with your explosiveness. Yeah.
Totally agree. I can only imagine the jump that you made that year, especially from your first, from not really being dialed in to being really dialed in. I'm sure it made a huge difference.
Yeah, and 100%. I honestly think at that age, that's like a perfect age to start to dial in a little bit, is like 14 years old, you know, you're starting to, your body's starting to mature, puberty's starting to hit. Like it's a great time to really start to dial in, where you can get your, start putting everything together slowly or quickly over a summer, really.
Yeah, 100% agree. 100% agree. And sorry, I'm going to rewind this. I didn't really.
Yeah, go ahead.
Which I wish I knew, like the program that I was doing that really helped develop me. I didn't start doing that until I was 22 years old or 23, you know?
Yeah.
And it made such a big difference. Made a massive.
I honestly think the programming of it is one of the most important things. So in terms of, you know, this is even for parents, especially like just because this, do your research on if you're going to send your kids somewhere. I would definitely do your research on the things that they are, you know, promoting there, the way that their philosophies are for lifting and the way they go about it. Cause everyone's completely different. A lot of people are, you know, different in their philosophies.
100%.
So find one that, you know, works best for you, or you think is the best for your kid as well. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't just throw him into a place just to throw him into
the bandwagon. To say he's doing his friends are there.
Yeah.
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 For me, I agree. Since I'm pro now and I wanted to just invest a little bit back in myself, like I always trained myself for the past 10 years. I always trained myself because I always had the drive to do it and I liked it too. But now that I've playing professionally, I thought I'd invest a little bit. So I trained at GVN this off season, with Jackson Fry, and he was awesome. Very hockey specific. But yeah, that's exactly, you have to do your work, do your research about it. But I was, you know, I'm a coach myself, and sometimes it's nice to be coached, you know? So of course I can do it myself, but I like to be coached as well. So that's kind of, big reason I went over to, I tried out GVN this summer with Jackson Fry, and yeah, it was awesome. A lot of hockey specifics, a lot of like what you were talking about, the reactionary with the sprints and just being athletic and stuff like that. But, it's definitely better when you have a coach there watching you do your reps and instructing you, even though you could do it on your own.
Yeah.
It's,
I think that's
very possible
to
do it on your own, but I just wanted that extra advantage, you know?
Mm-hmm. There is an advantage to having like that trainer there, like not critiquing you on little, you know, very little minor things, but that stuff makes a difference in the long run for sure. Especially when you're playing pro and college, there's little differences between people and players, and if you can get the advantage, you know, you might as well. So I definitely think having a trainer there is a, you know, a good idea. Also, I want to say this really quick. Another good thing about having a trainer at a younger age, especially for them, I would say, is proper technique, lifting technique, because a lot of people can fall into really bad habits when they're younger, you know, and then in mid-teens into 20s if they were never taught how to lift properly. And that can just cause a whole nother bundle of things that you don't want to be dealing with in terms of injuries and stuff. So that also at a younger age, if you can learn proper technique on lifts and, you know, positioning of your body, you're going to be in a good spot too.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. I was the same even a little bit just when I first started lifting. You need someone there, especially when you're younger, watching your form. Your back might be hunched. Your glutes aren't activated. Your core is not activated. Your chest isn't upright. You know, where are you looking? Right. There's a lot of little details that maybe you can't see. Not very important.
Right.
Good touch on that.
I totally agree. So I think that wraps it up for episode, I think it's 31 of the No One Told Me Hockey podcast. We covered playing through injuries. Hopefully, Chris, you have a speedy recovery over there. We can get you back on the ice. And then we talked about off-ice training and the importance of it. So that's
great.
That's all I got, Chris.
Short, but very useful.
Yeah, I agree.
All
right, I'll talk to you later. Good luck with the recovery.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk soon.